It's going to be trying here the booklet. Is there an air conditioner here? There is, right? Should I have to turn off? Shkach. Okay, the Siyata Deshmaya, we're beginning the topic of the Zman, and that's the topic of Muktza. And what we're going to do today is a introduction, which I don't think should take too long, in terms of understanding a basic introduction to Muktza. Muktza is quite confusing because there are many, many, many Gemaras about Muktza, and the Klalim of Muktza are not that clear. So let's start with the way the Rambam introduces Muktza. The Rambam in Perek Chav Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, it is quoted in the Beis Yosef, in the beginning of Simen Shin Ches. You also have the Rambam over there. Now, Perek Chav Dalet, just in terms of the context of the Rambam, Perek Chav Dalet, the Rambam is introducing different Shvuyos, the Surei Durabanan. And if you take a look at the beginning of Perek Chav Dalet, the Rambam says, Yesh Dvarim Shein Asur M'Shabbos, Afal Pi Shein Omdom in Malacha. There are some things that are Asur Shabbos, even though they don't resemble the Malacha. In previous Parakim, the Rambam had discussed Yisurei Durabanan that resemble Malacha. Here's what the Rambam introduces, the Gzeros Medurabanan that we know as Shavus. And the Rambam says in Halacha Yudbeis, Asru Chacham L'Taltal Mitzas Dvarim B'Shabbos, Kederu Shuvay Sibachol, it's prohibited to move items like he does during the week. And why did Chazal prohibit us from moving items, certain items? Amru. And here the Rambam gives a few reasons. They said, reason number one, Uma'im hiziru nevim, v'tzivu shalayi hiluchach b'shabbos, hiluchach b'chol. The pasuk in Yeshayahu describes im tashiv mishabbos reglecha that you're supposed to walk differently on Shabbos. You're not supposed to run, and you're supposed to speak lashon kodesh on Shabbos. V'lo sichas haShabbos kisichas hakol. That you're not supposed to speak on Shabbos the way you speak during the week. Shneamar v'daber davar. Kal v'chomer shelo yetiltul b'shabbos kitiltul b'chol. Certainly, the way one moves things on Shabbos should not be the way you move during the week. Kedei shelo yekiyom chol be'enav. In order that it should not seem to be a weekday, the yavo lahadbia lusakin kalim mipina lepina or mibayis lebayis or latsnia avan mukiyotzibem sharehu batal v'yoshev beiso. We don't want him to be involved with many different distractions, so he has to sit at home. And when he'll sit at home, he'll be mekayim leman yanuach. The Rambam says that's reason number one. So we want to restrict our movement, just like our walking and our talking is different on Shabbos. Yud Gimel, Va'oid, Kishiyavaker v'yitaltel kelim shemalachton le'isur, if he's going to be moving his kelim around all the time, Efshar sheyisasek b'me'at v'yavol de melacha, if he's going to be moving around kelim that are used for melacha, he might come to melacha. That's reason number two. Va'oid v'pnei shemikzas ha'am einam bali umnis, Ela b'teilin kol yemein. There are some people who don't work the entire day, and they're yoshvei kronos, etc. And we want that Shabbos should be a shvisa hanikeres. So someone who's not working, who anyhow doesn't pick up a hammer, so then in such a case, we want his tiltal to be different on Shabbos, and so therefore we restrict his movement even more to show that this day is different. So the Rambam gives us three reasons. The Ravid points out, I believe it's in our booklet, that the Gemara on Kuf Chav Dalet on the Beis, it's on the fourth page in the booklet, mentions rhetorically the tiltal gufei on the fourth line from the top, lav mishum hotzahu, that the Gemara itself says that tiltal itself is a gzeira atu atzah. So it's funny, the Rambam went out of his way to list all these different possible reasons, and the one reason that appears in the Gemara, the Ravid points out, the Rambam omitted. That what? That we're afraid if we're going to come to be metaltal many kalim, then you're more likely to carry them on Shabbos. Okay, so this is the Rambam's explanation for the Isser of Tiltal. We mentioned all the way in the beginning of the year, things come full circle, that Remenzal Shlita points out that the Rambam does conclude Alach Yubeis by saying Leman Yanuach, that the Chiyuv of Muktzah is connected to the Din D'Oraisa U'Botel Atam Shenemar Leman Yanuach. Yet, of course, the Rambam started out Alach Yubeis as Asru Chacham L'Taltal Mitzas Dvan. The Rambam started out saying that it is Nisur D'Rabbanan. What we're going to do today, the Siyata D'Shmaya, is point out the different Mekoros that we have in the Gemara, whether it's D'Oraisa, D'Rabbanan, or Gzeira, point out different inconsistencies within the Gemaros themselves, and present the different approaches of the Achronim, how to deal with those inconsistencies, and how that will be a framework that will help us in beginning the sugya of Muktzah. It works out Siyata D'Shmaya to do it on Sunday, all the way in the beginning of the week, because this is just really a framework. I'm trying to give you today is a framework that will help you once you learn the sugya, begin learning the sugyas, and not necessarily are we. In fact, I didn't even bring a Mishnah Berurah today. No Mishnah Berurah. We're just going through the basic Makoros. Now there is a Gemara in Pesachim on Mem Zayin on the days that doesn't say Leman Yanuach. But the Gemara does say that Muktzah is D'Oraisa. The Gemara quotes it as a possibility. And the Gemara makes reference to a pasuk that is discussed in Maseches Beitzah. Herein lies the challenge of Hilchos Muktzah. And that is, you have all these different Gemaras that seem to be saying so many different things about Muktzah. So I figured a lot of what I got when I learned this the first time, of course, he has fantastic makoros. By then, he wasn't the chief rabbi. Now he's the chief rabbi, Rav Yitzchak Yosef Shlita. In his Yalkut Yosef, he has a fantastic, fantastic hakdama. And a lot of what I've gleaned and what I'm saying today comes from him. So the Gemara in Pesachim on Mem Zayin Amid Beis says rhetorically, "Muktzah d'oraisahu." Says a muktzah is d'oraisa, and it quotes a pasuk. I mentioned that the Gemaras are all over the place, because we're familiar with this Gemara, probably not from the Gemara in Pesachim, but we're familiar with it from the Gemara in Beitzah, which is the first set of photocopies. We know that there's a Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, which deals a lot with Hilchos Muktzah, and that is a Beitzah that's Nolda B'Yomtov. And the Gemara discusses different reasons why a Beitzah Shenolda B'Yomtov, we have the Chumrah of Beis Hillel, unique Chumrah of Beis Hillel, Mishnah Edios lists this as one of the exceptions, that says that the Beitzah cannot be eaten. One explanation is, if you take a look in the Gemara on the bottom of Beis, on the Beis of Maseches Beitzah, is the idea that Muktzah might be D'Oraisa. At least that's how Rashi understands it. Rashi quotes in Rabba's explanation on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, Rashi himself appears halfway through the Amud. First word on the line is L'tamei Dama Rabba. It's Mamish Rashi halfway through the short lines. He quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, V'yalf mehocha de muktzah d'oraisa. That we see that the concept of muktzah is min ha-Torah. That something that wasn't prepared before Shabbos is going to be d'oraisa. Now, keep in mind that the Gemara in Beitzah is referring to generally what's referred to as Hachana D'Rabba, and that is that Ein Yom Tov Mechin L'Shabbos, that you're not allowed to have Yom Tov prepare for Shabbos. And the Gemara at certain stages seems to put the two together, muksa and hachana derabba, that Rashi over here says, yalef me'acha muksa d'oraisa. What is hacha? What's this pasuk? That the pasuk says, v'haya b'yom ha'shishi ve'echinu es asher yaviu. On the sixth day, you should prepare for Shabbos. But when we got the mitzvah of the man, chol mechin l'shabbos, v'chol mechin l'yomtov, the weekday is supposed to prepare, we're about 10 lines from the bottom, on beiz and beitza. The weekday is supposed to prepare for Shabbos, and supposed to prepare for Yom Tov, but Yom Tov is not supposed to be used to prepare for Shabbos. Now Rashi is pointing out that this is essentially the idea of Muktzah. Essentially the idea of Muktzah is, let's give an operative definition that's going to stand with us. There'll be metal subtleties that will be relevant, but at the end of the day that will stand with us throughout, and that is that Muktzah comes from the word the Haktzot. The Muktzah was a noun. And the noun of muktzah was the area that they would put aside grogros and simukim to become ripe. That it was an area that was put aside, the muktzah. That's the source of the word muktzah. So muktzah means that something that wasn't prepared for Shabbos Yontif, hence mechin, that it's going to be something that is going to be prepared beforehand. So the idea is that you're supposed to have something prepared beforehand. The din d'oraisa of Rabbah, zera d'Rabbah, ein Yom Tov mechin l'Shabbos, means that you're not allowed to use Yom Tov to prepare for Shabbos. When you need to designate things for Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, you have to do it beforehand. And Rashi suggests that broader category comes from the idea of muksa being d'oraisa in Pesachim and Zayin HaMebeis, that is all learned from the pasuk ve'ichinu Eis Asher Yaviu. This is the Gemara in Beitza, the Gemara in Psachim. Now, of course, the question begs itself, and that is that there are many, many, many Mekoros that seem to indicate that Muktzah is not D'oraisa. Most learn, Tosas in a few places points out, that Gemara in Psachim, Mem Zayin Amad Beis, is not Aliba D'Hilchasa. That is not Aliba D'Hilchasa. And for that matter, when we talk about Muktzah, like we saw in the Rambam, if you take a look in the Gemaras and Shabbos in Perek Kol HaKelim, which deal the halachos what we refer to as colloquially today as muktzah, there the Gemara doesn't quote any dine d'oraisa. What is the description of the iser of tiltul muktzah? So that we have in the Gemara on Kuf Chav Gimel on the Beis in Masechta Shabbos. And this obviously is getting closer to home. This is going to be closer to the standard explanation of Muktzah, and obviously what we're going to have to do is explain, reconcile, how it could be that in Rashi, in Beitz on Beis on the Beis, could talk about Muktzah being D'oraisa, even Amanda Amar that says Muktzah D'oraisa, yet the Rambam we saw said Asru L'Talta. So let's take a look in the Gemara Kuf Chav Gimel on the Beis to see one of the most important sources of where the Isser Muktzah came from. Again, I'm using terms interchangeably right now because I haven't explained the terms correctly. In fact, probably all the titles for the Muktzah books are not the correct way they should be titled. They're referred to as, right? Rabbi Bodner's book is called Muktzah. But actually, if you look at the Hebrew title, which Tiltule Shabbos or something like that, which we're going to see is much more accurate, like we saw in the Rambam. But since we use the term Muktzah, we have to understand where this confusion came from and see the basic Gemara. Zokdei the Gemara, halfway through Kuf Chav Gimel Beis, Tan Rabbanan, Barishona. Originally, Hayu Omrim, Shlosha Kelim Nitolim B'Shabbos. Originally, only three utensils were able to be moved on Shabbos. And the Gemara delineates those kelim that were extremely necessary. What is Barishona? So the Gemara, six lines from the bottom of Kuf Chav Gimel, tells us, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Bibei Nechemya, Ben Chakalya Nishnas Mishnah Zu. The pasuk in Nehemiah describes by Yomim Ahem Ra'isa B'Yuda Darchim Gasos B'Shabbosos that they were being Mechalos Shabbos Umeivim Aramos, and the pasuk describes that Nehemiah clamped down. So the Brisa tells us that he assered all kelim until back up three lines from the wide on Kufchav Gimel Amid Beis. Hitiru v'chazir v'etiru v'chazir v'etiru. They were then matter more than Nehemiah's blanket prohibition that included all kelim except for three. Acha amru, kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbis, all kelim can be, one can be mitalfel b'shabbis. What is exactly the details of hitiru v'chazir v'etiru? So you'll look at the Gemara in Mirtz Hashem in the beginning of the week. Abaye, who introduces us the different categories of muktzah, which you will be working on b'siyata d'shmaya, and we'll start with muktzah machmas chisar and kis on Thursday and all of the details. So here, clearly, you have something that begins with Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah saw, it's not v'hoya v'yom ha-shishi echinu es asher yaviu, Nehemiah saw, in divrei Kabbalah there was gzeira, but interestingly, the gzeira was clearly only for that period of time. It wasn't meant to be a blanket gezeira. The poskim discuss ein bezin vatel bezin chavero elam kein gadol menu b'chachmul b'minyan. Did we think in the door of the Tanoim that we were greater than the door of Nehemiah, etc., etc.? So there's some type of fluid gezeira that was introduced during the time of Nehemiah. That's another source. So we have the gezeiras Nehemiah with this fluid, hitiru v'chazru v'hitiru, which is interesting that it was chazru v'hitiru, even though Nehemiah had made the gzera. And we have one more source that makes things even more complicated. And that is, it could be that even though this throws a wrinkle into all of this, it could be that this is actually going to be a way in which to resolve the tension. And that is a beautiful, beautiful Gemara of Shlomo HaMelech dealing with his father's sudden p'tira. The Gemara daf Lamed Amid Aleph, going on to Lamed Amid Beis, recounts a very, very powerful Gemara that David knew he was supposed to die, and David just kept on learning. The Malach HaMavis can't be sholit when he's learning. Very, very graphic Gemara. The Malach HaMavis distracts David outside. David keeps on doing his Mishnayis Balpeh. I don't know if David does Mishnayis Balpeh. But David keeps on learning, and then he walks out to side with he would see what happens. The Malach HaMavis puts a remember, this is on loan from Adam HaRishon, right? These years are on loan according to the Medrash from Adam HaRishon. So David is on loan. Fascinating idea in of itself. And considering Mashiach comes from him, and David is walking out to the garden, and he slips and he falls and he passes away. Shlomo HaMelech sends a message to the Chacham at the time, a very powerful Gemara, where he says, Avi mutal b'chama, Abba meis umutal b'chama, 10 lines from the top and lamid on the base. My father has passed away and he's sitting in the sun. It's Shabbos, what am I allowed to do? The Gemara says so powerfully that at the end of the day, that he quotes a pasuk in Koheles that Shlomo HaMelech himself will teach, Kila kelev chai hu tov min aryeh ha-meis. That at the end of the day, that David HaMelech is now, his neshama is gone, and therefore he's muktzah, and therefore you can't be metaltal. And the Gemara gives this famous suggestion, which unfortunately I once had to do in my life, and that is to put a kikar on top of the dead body to be able to be metaltal the dead body. That's the heter that we have. We're going to have to understand what is that heter. It's a very complicated heter, different explanations, but at the end of the day that you put a kikar on the mace, and that's how one is allowed to be metaltal. Fascinating Gemara. Wait a second. I've got now three different times in which muktzah appears. I got a pasuk, some would say muktzah is daraisa. I've got Nehemiah with chazer v'yitiru, until we get to halacha lemaisa. And then I've got, already in the time of David HaMelech, which also precedes Nehemiah, we already have the isser of muktzah already from that period of time. So we have three different periods, two of which where we see muktzah is introduced, Moshe Rabbeinu himself in preparing for the man, or Nehemiah during the Kedusha Shnia when we came into Eretz Yisrael for the second time, which ultimately created the final Kedusha Saharetz. It's very interesting to point out, we spoke a little bit about this on Hey Iyar, that the lasting Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael comes from that period of time of Nehemiah. And the Kedusha Rishona, the glorious, when we came in Yericho's walls fall, so that doesn't last. The Rambam explains, because the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, of the Ali Rishon of Yeshua, was a kibush, and then when we were no longer entitled to Eretz Yisrael anymore, then that was gone. However, Rambam says, Ali of Nechemya, that stayed forever. Why? Because that was done with Hirur Tshuva. So it's fascinating. The Hirur Tshuva was full of Chilul Shabbos, but it was Hirur Tshuva. And that is dearer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Kedushas Aretz than the first Aliyah that was done with all the razzle-dazzle of Yericho's walls coming down. It's a fascinating thing. So along with that Hirur Tshuva that the Rambam says that created Kedushas Aretz, at the same time, Klal Yisrael's state might have been in a sincere place, but at the same time, we were in a very low place, and the Nevi'im needed to be Ma'oraras, and they were Ma'oraras with the Gzeira of Tiltel. So how do we reconcile, how do we deal with these different sources? So there's a beautiful Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer points out in his Chedushim, I think that this is Mamish Mesameach, and this will begin our Petach to dealing with these issue, that the Chassam Sofer, if you're learning the Sechas Beitza, you got to know the Chassam Sofer. If you don't know the Chassam Sofer, unless someone has a better explanation, but you need to have some type of explanation. Chassam Sofer, in his second time around that he wrote on Sechas Beitza, in Madura Tinyana, in his Agdama, right in the beginning, points out, in our edition, it's the that's in front of you, it's in the starts off with the first column. The Chassam Sofer says that there's two halachas. There's an Isra Achila, that's the Beitza, and that's Muktza, and that, according to some opinions, is going to be Doraisa, and that's an Isra of Hana'a, that according to some, there will be Muktza Doraisa, that will be Usr to have Hana'a, and to be Ochel, that Beitza Shenolda. According to that opinion, it could very well be that anything that falls into the Isra of Achila, of Muktza, then you have an Isur Doraisa. According to some who hold that it doesn't apply to all Muktza, it only applies to Hachana Derabba. In other words, Vahaya Biyom HaShishi, the Pashtut Chazal seem to be understanding it only referring to Yom Tov not being Mechen LeShabbos. Not all Muktza is going to have this Isur Doraisa, just that which was born on Yom Tov, on Shabbos can't be, you can't have Anah because Yom Tov can't be Mechon LeShabbos, but not all cases of Muktza. Either way, whether you go like Rashi, that all Muktza is Doraisa, or it's just Hachana Derabba, at the end of the day, that's the Isra of Achila. Then we have Masechah Shabbos. Then we have Masechah Shabbos. Masechah Shabbos, we have a totally separate thing, and that's the Gzeira of Tiltel. And the Rambam that we saw is describing all of those Gzeiros of Tiltels. So that would be the explanation, part of the explanation of what's going on in Maseches Beitza versus in Maseches Shabbos. Shabbos is talking about Tiltel Kalim, that there are Kalim or non-Kalim, that one is not allowed to be Metaltel. And then there's another issue, and that is the Isra Achila on Shabbos, where you have, which comes from either a Muktza Doraisa, or particularly Hachana Derabba, where you have Haya Biyom HaShishi Vechinu Es Asher Yaviu. On the next page, Chassam Sofer develops that the Nafgamina, it's going on to the next page, again, the first column towards the top, the Nafgamina says the Chassam Sofer is going to be Negiya. This will be our only reference to Halacha L'maisa. There is no Iser of touching Muktza, what we call Muktza today, the Gzeres Tiltel. There's no Isser of touching Muktza. There will only be an Isser of Negiya when you have an Isser Achila. When you have an Isser Achila, then you have an Isser Negiya. An example is by Chametz. Chametz on Pesach, that if you find Chametz on Pesach, Kofal of Kli, one of the reasons we turn over a Kli is because it's Aser B'Negiya. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer argues an Afgamina between the two is going to be Negiya. I remember when I was a child, there was always, we had a Chakira, are you allowed to use the car as base, right, when you're playing tag? Right. Is base the right term? Or 20 years? Still use the same term. Okay. So you're allowed to use the car as base. So the answer is, minastam, yes, unless you're running full force into the car, and then in such a case, then if you're moving it a little bit. But otherwise, the answer is that muktza, it does not apply to negiya. The isser of tiltel, to be precise. Tiltel is only in regards to negiya. So the Chassam Sofer points out to us already, this is our start, that there are two worlds. There's a world of tiltul, there's a world of muktzah, and no one should make a mistake that when Rashi holds that muktzah is daraisa, that Rashi holds that the yisur tiltul is daraisa. What did the Rambam mean when he said l'man yanuach? Okay, so Rav Nevenzahl has a very nice pshat. But l'man yanuach was not what Rashi and Rambam are those, they're two different worlds. Interestingly, there is one meforesh that beautifully connects muktzah and tiltul. In other words, not only mafarish, one of the great poskim connects muktzah and tiltul together. And that is the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam begins to give us the conceptual framework that will be very helpful in terms of understanding the Isra muktzah. Chayei Adam is in your booklet as well. In Klal Samach Vav, Os Aleph, the Chayei Adam gives us a very a hosafa. He quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam's three reasons. He quotes the Raivitz Hasaga. And when I was your age, I was thrilled to see this Chayei Adam, because there was something inside of me that said it can't just be that everybody who wrote all the halachos of Tiltul Kelim just got mixed up. They all got mixed up. They used the term muktzah and they really meant Tiltul Kelim. That's quite a piece of lashon hara on all the Chachmei Adoros, that they got confused. Not that Chassam Sofer said that, but at the end of the day, it was once you know the Chassam Sofer, there's one thing. Everybody calls it the same thing. When I was a kid, they just put the two together, but really it's two separate worlds. Zot the Chayei Adam beautifully. Here the Chayei Adam gives us an introduction to the whole conceptual framework where he puts the two, where he shows that the two could be connected. Seven lines before the end of Sif Katan Aleph in the Chayei Adam, V'nirali Lahosef Otam. Shekivan Shero Chacham Lesar Muktzah Mitamim Aniskarim. Since Chazal, starting with Nehemiah, we're going to point out not only with Nehemiah, starting with at least from the Diamond David, there was already an Isra of Tiltul. Samchu Divrayim Al Pasuk Veichinu Es Asher Yaviu. The pasuk itself alludes to this idea. What, in what way? Di Kamad Amar, the pasuk said the Muktzah Deraisa. Some say it's Deraisa. V'lachem. After lo kai malon hachi, even though we don't pass in this way, mikol makom samach gadol samchu al pasuk zeh shelo letaltel elama shehu mucham me erev Shabbos o memela o sheheichim b'machshavu b'maisa b'chol davar fi tashmishon. Every single word of the Chayei Adam is holy, and exactly what his agdara is important, but that's not what we're focusing on right now. We're not focusing on the details. We're focusing on the concepts. So says the Chayei Adam like this. He says, even though we don't paskin muktzah d'oraisa, Chazal saw the idea that you're supposed to prepare before Shabbos. You're supposed to prepare before Shabbos. So since you need to prepare before Shabbos, there are things that are not going to be prepared that they say, wait a second, we're going to make a gzeira on those things. Yes, it was about a general lack of Chilul Shabbos that motivated Nehemiah. But Nehemiah said, wait a second, this whole concept of limiting what we're doing on Shabbos and requiring us to prepare, which is the antithesis of Muktzah, we'll explain how that connects to Tiltul shortly, the Isra of Tiltul, that idea of Eichinu Es Asher Yaviu tells us that there are certain things that if you haven't prepared them before Shabbos are going to be Asur. And he says, that's exactly the famous cloud, which we'll have to try to understand both in Lamdus and in Halacha, Amigu Diskatzoy Lebein Hashmashos Diskatzoy Lekulei Yoma. The whole idea is, before Shabbos, did you designate this for use? For heter use on Shabbos? Or did you not designate for heter use on Shabbos? So really, the Gzeiras Tiltul, it's very confusing, the terms Tiltul and Muktzah, but they do have a deep connection between the two. Gzeiras Tiltul stems from the idea of Muktzah, even though you hold Muktzah is Dirabbanan. Dekiv the law, Yemucha Me'er Shabbos, Nisha B'Yisula, V'lechein Chokul Chacham B'Davar V'Amro. That is the pshat of the Chayei Adam of the relationship to the two. So we see the Chassam Sofer that starts out and halachically creates the two categories, but the Chayei Adam brings the two together and points out that really conceptually they are connected, and yes, there are going to be machlokias, whether muktzah is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. And yes, the details of Gzeiras Tiltul are very different than the details of Isra Muktzah, but it's really stemming, Ve'echinu Es Asher Yaviu is speaking out this idea that we need to prepare before Shabbos, and that because of the chash of malachos and other chashos, we said, wait a second, there's an idea of limiting those things that you have hana on and use on Shabbos. And we now could go a little bit deeper and understand what it is about limiting those things. What was the Rambam's first reason? Let's take a look again. Let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam says that we're afraid that if people are going to be constantly involved with their chafatzim, so then they're not going to be mekayim what Shabbos is all about. Here's the Rambam. It's in your Beis Yosef, of course. Shelo yehi lachach b'shabbos ki luchach b'chol. And the Rambam says you're going to be developing lots of things. You're going to be moving kelim from one place to the next. Olatznia avonim. Notice avonim. What type of muktzah is that? Muktzah machmas gufo. Something that doesn't have any purpose on Shabbos. And Evan is the classic example of muktzah. It's what we call muktzah machmas gufo. Something that doesn't have any purpose. So the Rambam says if people are going to be allowed to be involved with chafatzim that haven't been prepared before Shabbos, then they're going to not focus on what Shabbos is all about. So I would like to argue that the Rambam's first case is explaining Veichinu es asher yaviu in a beautiful, beautiful way. The Rambam is describing that the requirement is to set aside those things that you really need for Shabbos. Those things that you really need for Shabbos. Otherwise, we're afraid that you're going to be metaltel things that are not necessary for Shabbos. And what's the classic example of that? Something that doesn't have a need for Shabbos. What's that? The Rambam's first explanation corresponds to muktzah machmas gufo. Corresponds to muktzah machmas gufo. And that already finds itself in the source of Eichinu, Eis Asher Yaviu, as an asmachta. Maybe we could suggest, this is the Lashon Ulai, this is the Chiddush of the day, tell me if you like it in the next few days, that already precedes Nechemiah. What was the case of David being Muktzah? That's this category of Muktzah Machmas Gufo, that the mace has no purpose. It needs to be buried. But mace has no purpose. So already Muktzah Machmas Gufo exists already prior to Nehemiah, to the time of David. And from at that period of time, there already was Muktzah Machmas Gufo, which stems from the Pasuk Veichinu Eis Asher Yaviu. So the spirit of the Isra of Muktzah Machmas Gufo already exists. Comes Nehemiah into Eretz Yisrael, he already has a precedent. He has already a precedent within Tiltul Muktzah. Within Tiltul Muktzah, not only what the Chassam Sofer is Muktzah Vachila, he has a precedent within Tiltul. And he sees people doing Malacha. He says, wait a second, why was Muktzah Machmas Gufo Asur? It was Asur because to protect Shabbos, as Rambam described in his first Halacha. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Asur other Kalim. Kalim that are going to bring you to do Malacha. Kalim Shemalachto Liasur. So Ulai V'Ulai, it's possible to suggest that Nehemiah's was based already on the tkufa of David HaMelech, and B, it could be that extension is clearly an extension of the original idea, and possibly Nehemiah was adding a new category called Klisha Melachta Lisa, because it's true, you don't have Klisha Melachta Lisa prior in Shas, as far as I know, prior to Nehemiah. Either way, leaving aside the Chiddush, what's clear is we just crunch. We have two different categories of Muktzah. One is the category of the Yisra Achila, the other is the category of Tiltul. The Chaya Adam points out that even if you're going to say Muktzah is Derabbanan, it's not going to be Doraisa, clearly it's all based on the idea of V'haya B'yom HaShishi V'Hinu Es Asher Yaviu. That already indicates to us that already from the Torah's time, there is this theme of being Meichin, and the whole theme of Achana is the super category that lies behind all three of the Rambam's reasons. All three of the Rambam's reasons are already are already there. Hence, you'll have categories of muktzah. Maybe muktzah machmas gufa already exists in the time of David, but the gzera of klishim alach tol iser doesn't until Nechemya. And Nechemya comes along and he explodes muktzah into include many categories. We might not have even all the list of Nechemya's categories. And then, where you have the details that we haven't learned yet, where you have different halachas, the klishim alach tol iser is going to be mutter, the tzarach gufa, the tzarach mekomo, etc., etc. Those lists will become clearer as time goes on. Yes, Ramakta. Correct. Correct. That's basically what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So let's go, since I wasn't necessarily going to go in that order, but let's see that is basically the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan finishes off the Hakdama for us. I'll show you that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says something similar to what we said as well. What I just did now was parts of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan adds some other things, combined with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav was the one who first really elucidated that it's clear that Nechemya wasn't the first one. He's the one who brought the raya from the Gemara Lamed Amud Beis. So we'll see both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that dovetail beautifully with what we had said. And the Aruch HaShulchan is going to do one more thing. And that is probably the most important thing that I wished when I was learning in Kollel in our yeshiva, that someone had given me this Hakdama. Because we were learning in Kollel, we were just doing the Dapim. I mean, you do Machlokas, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda, Muktza, Rav Shimon, Islay, Muktza, Rav Yehuda, Islay, Muktza, Rav Shimon, Letzlay, Muktza. It's impossible to figure out those Gemaras. What are the Machlokas and every Kli is different? V'chule, v'chule. So the Aruch HaShulchan gives us a very, very important introduction, and Rav Soloveitchik as well, in his Shiurim, emphasized this point as well. But it says so clearly in the Aruch HaShulchan, we don't need to go to the Talmidim of the Rav for it. Okay. Let's pick up in the Aruch HaShulchan, Siv Gimel. He quotes the Rambam in Aleph, and the Ravid in Beis, and then he says, V'nirali didivrei Rambam tzotkim v'chrachim. Di'i sal kedaitach, t'tchilas gzeres mukse, tzchilu b'mei Nechemya. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it didn't start with the days of Nechemya. Eich hitiru v'chazer v'hitiru. How could we have undermined Nechemya? I mentioned this very briefly last time. Ha'im bezin yachol v'atol divrei HaKodmin. And how, at the end of the day, do we think we're firmer than Nechemya? Could that possibly be? So he says in Dalet, the following yisod, and I alluded to this very briefly when we started reading the Rambam. Dihine, kfar biarnu, deshvuse Shabbos enan domus l'chol yisuri derabanan, vehem kimido raisa. There's a very, very famous Ramban, and the Aruch HaShulchan believes strongly that this is the shita of the Rambam as well, and that is that every Shavuos is really a din d'oraisa. It's all part of the mitzvah of Tishbos. That when Chazal said that you can't go swimming because we're afraid that you might come to make a raft, they were protecting the Tishbos of Shabbos. Every Shavuos is really an extension of the din of Tishbos. And therefore he says, and hey, it is not the pshat that in the time of Nechemya that they introduced the Gzeira of Tiltul. Take a look at hey. Ulefize gami surei miktza hayimei ashenit meteira. Muktza, of course, existed from time of Torah. This is an example where I wish that the Aruch HaShulchan had written Tiltul, not Muktza. Right? Okay. But it didn't start with Rabbi Bodner. I'm 4 lines on the top, 3 lines on the top. Amar hu ve'ezra v'chagav v'zachariyum malachte v'anshik nesak dola v'gozer al dorim od chumras. They added more chumras that existed to prior to Matan Torah. And basically, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that the Chazer v'etiru is, they sent it back to the way originally Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it at Har Sinai. So really you have this din of muktzah that goes back to what the Aruch HaShulchan claims is a shvus. Notice, the Aruch HaShulchan is not connected to the Echin Weis Asher Yaviyu. It's a little different than the Chayei Adam. But he says, of course it existed from Har Sinai. There already was a Gzeres Toltel. I like the Chaya Adam because it's no longer this amorphic thing that is in some movie about, you know, that's in the Ten Commandments. You don't have to put it in the movie. It's halachic category. Ve'chinu es asher yaviu is already a halachic category that exists prior. And then the Aruch HaShulchan does something extremely, extremely important. In Sifkat and Vav and Sifkat and Zayin, he says, now I will give you the petach to understand every single machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Muksa. If you take a look, just as a way of introduction, take a look at the Gemara on Memhei Amid Aleph. I think it's also in the booklets as well. The Gemara describes a following shaila that Rish Lakish asked to Rabbi Yochanan. Chitim shez, it's a 10 lines from the top. First word on the line is Lakish. Chitim shezaren bekarko, ubeitzim shetachas tarnigolos. Mahu. What's the halacha? Are those muktzah or are they not muktzah? Ki lesle Rabbi Shimon muktzah. When do we have a rule that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah? Hecha delo dachya biyadayim. Do we say that Rabbi Shimon says that as long as you haven't put it in the maktzah, in the place that's put a, that the seller, let's call it, but hecha de dachya biyadayim? When he puts in the seller Islay Muksa, does he agree? Odilma Loshna. What the Gemara is making reference to, of course, is the term that we have in a few places and throughout Perakira and in Perakalakalim, a machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon hold a Muksa, Rabbi Yehuda holds a Muksa, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't? So one of the things when I was younger than you, a year or two younger, when I was learning in the, when I was learning in the in Rav Shach B'Skola, I didn't understand. What does it mean he doesn't hold a Muksa? What does that mean? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah. What does that mean? So the answer is that there is a question of where do you draw the line of what type of hachana. It all goes back to the pasuk. V'haya b'yom ha'shishi ve'echinu es asher yaviu. What level of hachana do you need in order to be metalta l'kli? That's a machlokas. And now you have a zillion examples of shas. Of different things that, yeah, is a little bit of hachana, but there's not so much of hachana. The Gemara here concludes, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't, even if you put it aside, and you weren't going to use it for Shabbos, it's still not muktzah. Rashi seems to say on this Gemara, that the only time it's going to be muktzah, according to Rabbi Shimon, in other words, what we call muktzah machmas gufo, is it's not ra'ui. Not only the, where you makts it, it's also not ra'i. So grogros v'tzimukim, when you had the grapes that are turning into raisins, there's a period of time that's not even ra'i. It's neither a raisin nor a grape. It's disgusting. No one would eat it. That even Rabbi Shimon holds up, and that's the category called muchza machnas gufo. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's the machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon was something that goes back already to Har Sinai. And that is, what happens if you have an item that's entirely not ready? Not only is it tachya biyadayim, according to the Maskanas HaGemara, but it's even not ro'i me'atzmo. So Rabbi Yehuda is much more machmir. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to prepare it. You have to designate it. This bottle of water, you want to drink it on Shabbos? Ve'chinu es asher yaviu, you got to prepare it. Says Rabbi Shimon, no, Rabbi Yehuda, you're too machmir. As long as the water is roi, then you're allowed to use it. So if you will, part of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just giving one group of examples, is within muktzah machmas gufo. What qualifies in muktzah machmas gufo? So what's an example that we had today of muktzah machmas gufo? A dead body. It's muktzah machmas gufo. That everybody agrees, Rabbi Shimon agrees. It's not roi. But it's dachya biyadayim, but not only dachya biyadayim. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's dachya biyadayim, it's already muktzah. Rabbi Shimon says not only is it have to be dachya biyadayim, it has to be not ro'i me'atzmo. That's what Rabbi Shimon knows. Rabbi Yehuda, he might hold that a bottle of water that was sitting in the cellar, that's already going to be considered muktzah. Why? Because you weren't making it for Shabbos. So what level of hachana does it need? All of that is connected to avahaya b'yom hashishi ve'echinu Eis asher yaviu, mamish mesameach. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan spells out, is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. But don't get confused when we say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the muktzah, Rabbi Yehuda does hold the muktzah. What do you mean? It's Beferish Gemara said muktzah. What we mean is this middle area that they're arguing about, that's a small, small area. But But Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would agree that there is this din of Gzeres Toltel, which the Chai Adam explained was an extension of that pasuk. Based on this, says the Aruch HaShulchan, based on all the above, if this is the explanation of what happened at Har Sinai, this is part of what Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down and taught us from Har Sinai that there are going to be shvusim that are going to be like this. Then I can understand, says the Aruch HaShulchan, why the Rambam is not rejecting the Gemara of Hotzah. This is what Ramati had said. All of the Gzeros of Tiltel are there to protect Kedusha Shabbos. Each one of them, or some of them, might have different reasons. And of course, Hotzah is one of them. Hotzah is one of them. But the Aruch HaShulchan argues that this is all part of the category of Tishbos, and Hotzah might be one of those things. So when the Gemara says Hotzah, the Rambam is not going to list all of the reasons, because if the Rambam is going to list all of the chashos, then the Rambam is going to go on forever. But the Rambam put it in Perek Chavdal with all the shvusim. The Rambam chose three reasons that are extremely broad, as we were masbir. Maybe the Rambam chose a tam that's mechuvan to moksa machmas gufa, and another tam that's mechuvan to kli shemalach lissa, which are the two major categories of hilchos moksa. But of course, the Rambam is aware of the Gemara of Otsa. But that's a detail. That's a smaller detail, and that the Rambam doesn't need to spell out, because we don't always spell out every reason of all of the shvuyos. That is the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation. I told you I would read with you also the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's beautiful formulation about Zeres Tiltel and Muktzah. And we'll set the record for the shortest shir of the year. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is Tez Zayin Yud Zayin. Let's take a look. It's a beautiful explanation as well. Kli Shemalachta Leheter. Da'ainu Shum Yuchal Tashmi Shamuter B'Shabbos. Those kelim that are devoted for heter, kigon kosu, karak yotzven, mutar taltalo, that you're allowed to be metaltalo, fil shalol litzorach gufo mekomo. El tzorach hakli atzmo, shecho shalov, shalo yishavar, shalo yigonev, if you're moving it because you don't want it to be stolen, umetaltalo mishum latzim, shetaltalo macham etzel, shecho shalo yispaka dechama, all that's mutar. But says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, we're going to do this as a sugya in the Ramah, but I told you I'm intentionally not doing Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Brura, just to build this conceptually first, we're going to see this as a sugya, and that is, what about Tiltel Shalol Litzarech Klal? There's no reason why you're moving it. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zatzal, we'll see, had a heter. The shaila is, how are you allowed to move I have a child who is always moving, Baruch Hashem. The way I kept him in the straight and narrow is I started playing ball with him when he was 2 years old. And when he was in school, so the Rebbe suggested, because he was always moving around, to have a shtender. So he already, like in fifth, sixth grade, already had a shtender, and he would rock the shtender back and forth. So Shlomo Zalman discusses such a kid, and there are guys in Beis Medrash and Yeshiva Gedolah like this as well. So he says, people are just rocking the shtender back and forth. Is that Tiltel Shalol Tzarech at all? So he says, no, that's to get out nerves, to get out energy. Shlomo Zalman says that's mutter as well. So says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, I'll tell you why Tiltel Shalol Tzarech is Aser. You know why Tiltel Shalol Tzarech is Aser? Because at the end of the day, Tiltel on Shabbos is supposed to be only a purposeful Tiltel. Ve'chino et asher yaviu. You set aside this to drink on Shabbos, so then you move it. But if you have no purpose, what are you doing it for? You should be in the world of Ruchnius. We'll speak of that on Friday night. You should be in the world of Ruchnius. You shouldn't be with the shtender. You shouldn't be with the water. What are you doing? Everything is supposed to be already thought out prior to Shabbos. Continues the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Al shalol tzarech klal also tatal shum kli. Avo bi shum lach leheter. Fishin nechemya ben chatalya. Show you am zalzun bisur Shabbos. Kmo shekosta bayom mehem. It's he quotes the pasuk. Asu chafam yisod vigeder lisar otza. Vigozru al kol hakelim. So he puts it together with particularly this otza. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav does based on the Gemara. But they asked her all kelim. And then we saw that we were doing better, so they were matir, almost all kelim. But shalol tzarech klal, why should they be matir? Shalol tzarech klal, what purpose does it have? That's the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's explanation for the iser tiltel shalol tzarech klal. That's tezayin. And then he says in yud zayin, avol kol mine ochlin u'mashkim mutarim b'shabes, kol mine sfarim shemutel lachros behem mutel tatlum afil shalol tzarech klal lefi shalol gazru b'mein nechemya el ala kelim v'lo al ochlin v'sfarim. He points out something beautiful. The gzer was on kelim, not on foods. We go back. First we're in line is she'eno. Six lines into Sif Yud Zayin in the second column of Shulchan Aruch Rav. Haya aser l'taltal af mei David b'shlomo called him the king. But something that wasn't roy l'shabbos, that was already aser from the time of David and Shlomo. Masha ein ken kalim, but kalim wasn't aser. Ah, so it's basically what I said, right? Shulchan Aruch Rav says black and white. Masha ein ken kalim. That kalim were mutter. What was aser was something that's not roy cloud. And all what Nehemiah did is he extended that which already existed in the days of Dov and Shlomo, which the Aruch HaShulchan points out, goes back to Har Sinai, which goes back to the Shavuos itself. So this B'siyata D'Shmaya is the introduction of Muktzah. It will help us in terms of putting things in perspective. What does the word Muktzah mean? Where did the confusion come between Total and Muktzah? What is the connection? What is the machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? What is the reason for the Rambam's three reasons? What's the way to be Miyashiv the Rambam from the Hasaga of the Ravid? Finally, we mentioned all the way in the beginning of the year Rav Nevenzahl's answer to the question of Laman Yonuach. What does the Rambam mean when he says Laman Yonuach? So, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, there will be a different answer. Now that we have the Aruch HaShulchan, we have a different answer, and that is that the Rambam is driving at that at the end of the day, all of these Gzeros are part of a Shavuos. And that Shavuos's goal is Laman Yanua, is in order that you should rest. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan would explain. It fits in beautifully in the Rambam and the way we explained above. Nevenzahl had a very interesting and beautiful chiddush as well. His interesting chiddush is to suggest that the Isra Muktzah is a Gzera Midrabanan, but if you spent the whole day being Metalta Muktzah, then you would be over the Isra of Laman Yanua. As the Gzera Tiltul is to move at once. But Chazal understood from Laman Yanuach that for sure the Torah didn't want us moving around rocks the entire day. And that the Pasuk itself would say, if a person would spend his entire day moving around rocks, then that's a violation of Laman Yanuach. Lamay Nafkamina, Rav Nevenzahl comes out with a very important Chumrah Halacha L'maisa. And that is that he says, if a person didn't do a single Malacha on Shabbos, but he did everything all day, Grama, so then he would violate Laman Yanuach. So this is another, for Rav Nevenzahl, this would be the source of the Yisr of a Grama switch. If a person, an entire Shabbos, was doing Malacha al Yidei Grama, so then in such a case it's true, he didn't do a single Malacha of the Lavin, according to some, but at the end of the day, he's in violation of Laman Yanuach. Okay, so B'siyata D'Shmaya on Thursday, what we're going to do is Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis. I'll give you more Mar Makomos than just that. The best way to go in terms of we're going to go Kiseder. We're B'siyata D'Shmaya, at least start out Kiseder, and that is go Kiseder and Siman Shin Ches. Take a look. The Beis Yosef gives you a beautiful Hakdama to six different forms of Muktzah. Take a look also at the Mishnah Brura's Hakdama, and then you'll see that the Seifim Aleph Beis Aleph and Beis are Muktzah Machmas Kisar and Kis. That we're going to do on Thursday, and then Amir Tzah Hashem will go to the next topic, and that's Klishim Lachtel Isser, that goes on from Sif Gimel. Learn with the fire.